This is a cellar die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's cellar die extra is brought to you by Owler.
Owler is the crowdsourced competitive intelligence platform that a million business professionals use to outsmart their competition, gain competitive insights, and uncover the latest industry news and alerts.
And here's the best part. If you sign up for free, you can follow me on Owler and automatically get my latest sales tips and videos along with insights relevant to your business. Go to Owler.com. And in the search box, you type in Buy Gittimer. Then just click on the yellow star and follow me. Owler is completely free to use and valuable. Come on, follow me. Go to Owler.com today.
Welcome, Jen, to the Nice Guys on Business podcast.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
So share where we are, because this is pretty cool. Was this here when you got here, Jen?
It was. It did not look as cool as this. Doug, our producer. So we're in our studio in Charlotte right now, and Doug, our producer, just totally came in one day, and he's like a godsend, and just overhauled the entire studio. And
this is a podcaster's dream that's in here. So for you to be able to do your Sell or Die podcast, you come out once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sensing 5 days a week at some point from you.
Maybe.
Did I just scare the hell out of you?
I think you scared the hell out of Doug.
maybe so. So they have the Sell or Die podcast, and Jen, along with Jeffrey, produced that podcast. Amazing. We'll make sure we put a link in the show notes so that you guys have access to that show as well. If you have not listened to Sell or Die, I know it sounds a little bit challenging. It could be sell or die. It's kind of drastic, but no, listen to it, check it out. A lot of great guests, Jen and Jeffrey do a great job of interviewing the folks that come on your show.
Thank you.
So Nice Guy community, you can't see, or maybe you can see Jen if you're checking this out on video, but you can't. But if you're listening to it on audio, Jen is pint-sized. Yet, but you don't want to fuck with her because she plays big in the sales game, winning over a lot of corporate clients, huge corporate clients, as a matter of fact, with her sales training and consulting business. Jen, when did you realize that sales was the direction that you wanted to go? Because it's not typically, I mean, a little bit demure until you open up your mouth and I realize that you're not that.
Well, I seem like a nice guy and I am nice, but you're right. Don't mess with me. I realized when I was literally 5 years old, 6 years old, that I wanted to go into sales. My mom was in sales. My dad was in sales. I saw it every day. And I would sell bracelets outside the supermarket. No one else was selling anything.
Well, they were selling Girl Scout cookies out there.
But
Jewish girls don't sell Girl Scout cookies outside of supermarkets.
They don't. And I would customize them. And I realized at a very young age the power of creating something that someone else would want. So it wasn't about the bracelet that I wanted. It was about what the customer wanted. So they would put in their order. And then a week later, they'd go grocery shopping again. And I'd be standing outside the supermarket and I'd have their order ready for them.
So tell me a little bit about this journey to self-employment, because you went from, at some point, I'm assuming, unless you were 100% commission, I don't 100% know where you were, but unless you went from this safety net called a paycheck, benefits, everything else, living in New York City, right?
Yep,
or outside of New York.
And then
going into this spot where you just said, I'm going to dump all of that safety net and I'm going to do my own thing. So talk about that, because I think we have a lot of people in our Nice Guy community that are thinking, I don't know. That's a big step to take. How did you know that was right?
It's a huge step to take. And at first, I didn't make that step. I knew I wanted to leave the company I'd been with. I'd been there for 6.5 years, and I was a chicken. And I went and I became COO of a test prep and admissions counseling company.
Wait, a what? Test prep and admissions?
They help people, kids study for the SATs, and they help you get into college or law school or whatever. Right. And after 2 months, I realized I needed to have started my own business. What was I thinking?
How did you even get it? What was the test prep? That doesn't sound like that would even be up your alley at all.
Well, I had worked in educational software as sales and sales management and leadership. And then I just wanted to get out. And I had all these advisors, like my mother, saying, you don't quit your job unless you have something else.
Well, yeah, mom's the safety net.
Exactly. You have this great secure job. You can do it from anywhere. I could travel all over and manage my team from anywhere in the country.
Right.
It was really a cushy job.
Right.
And I just thought, okay, I got to go get a job. And I realized that was the wrong move.
How far into this next job with this test prep did you say, this is not what I want. And then how do you get out of that? Because I know that's got to be a big decision to make to do it. And then how do you tell your boss, hey, I'm done?
So first of all, finding the test prep company was incredibly difficult because I was working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. So when do you make time to even search for a job?
Right.
So that was always my excuse. I don't have any time. I can't search. Okay. So I find the job. Mm-hmm. And then I realize, and this is not, I don't have the company on my LinkedIn. I don't associate myself with this company at all because I realized the guy wasn't ethical. And
so it made
I
it a little easier for
really
you.
Really lucky right, that, really, that he was really an ass to work for. I hope I'm allowed to say that on your show.
No. Fuck no. Don't say anything like that. No.
But he was a jerk. And he would take all the money and then tell me to go tell the contractors we couldn't pay them because there was no money that week. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do this.
So it was an easy jump out of that.
It was a really easy jump out. And that's when I just went full force right into my own business.
So when did you realize, based upon making that jump, that transition out of the safety net of having a full-time job into the non-safety net of the high wire and doing your own thing, when did you realize that you had your hands on something that was going to work? Because isn't that fear, portion of time?
Yeah.
Where, so talk about that.
Back up to the company I loved that I worked for 6.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in a training one day. We pull our 50 sales reps out of the field into a week-long training. Now think about the expense to get them there,
right,
to keep them there, right, to not have them selling, and to feed them, entertainment, all that. And I'm looking around, and this is, in my opinion, the worst training ever. So I'm sitting in the back of the room with my boss, and I turn to him. I go, this blows. And he's like, I know. I go, I could do it way better.
Oh, okay. There's the seed.
And he's like, oh, okay, you're in charge of the next one. I'm like, what? Really? Okay. And I had no idea what I was doing, mm-hmm, because I'd never done it before. I had right. only been to bad trainings pretty right. much. And I put together what in the surveys they said was the best training. One person said it was the best training she'd ever attended in 25 years wow. of selling.
So you kind of knew you had your hands on something, but not enough to make the jump because your mom's voice was in the back of your head saying,
safety net. Don't go.
So you made the jump, the transition, and was it immediately? Was it okay? Or was there a transition period for you or what?
So I immediately got into networking. And I went to this networking meeting mm-hmm. by chance. Some guy invited me that I met playing tennis. And I walk in, there's 80 members in the
right,
room.
Right.
And I walk in, I'm like, oh my God, this is a little intimidating. What's going on? And then all of a sudden they go through their commercials and, you know, each one's
standing like
up.
Was this like one of the BNI kind
yes.
of meetings? So everybody's introducing themselves, telling a little bit about what's going on in their life and who would be the best fit for them as a company.
Exactly, who you should refer to them.
Right, right.
And I'm like, oh, I can make this referral for this referral for that person. I could use this person's services. And I'm just going down the list and clicking off everyone I want to connect with after.
I'm thinking in my mind, you're already building a networking course.
Oh,
is that
I
right?
am.
Right, because I can see you're a systems person. Yeah. Just in the last couple of days since I've been here in Charlotte, I've seen you build systems, and that's what you excel at.
Thank you. So I'm just thinking, like, I wasn't thinking about what I could get. I was only thinking about, I can make this connection for this person. Someone said, I want to meet the CEO of this company. It happened to be a Fortune 500 company, and the CEO is someone I went to high school with. I'm like, yeah. I can... Easy. Let me meet you. Let me make sure I think you're credible and then I can connect you. And that's a key, by the way.
Right.
And before I left that day, I submitted my application to become a member. And within a year and a half of being a member of this group, I was a leader of the group and whatnot. But that created my business.
Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. And the goal of this show is to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. And I do this by interviewing just rock stars of industry. And today I have a complete rock star of a very specific industry called sales. It's the one and only Jeffrey Gittimer. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very kindly, Dave. This is an honor.
Hey, so Jeffrey, I'm so excited and honored that you're on the show. In my mind, in my book, and thousands and thousands, if not millions, across the country, you're a rock star, and you've really helped shape the sales industry into something that used to be viewed, you know, years ago as the used car salesman selling cars like sales. And you've really, you know, created it into something that could be studied, that could be honed, and played a big part in really shaping it to be a very professional industry if done the right way. So, you know, I, for one, as a proud salesperson, thank you for that, and want to really dig into not only some of the latest and cutting edge advice you can give us when it comes to sales, but I think that there are a lot of fans here, not only in Rochester, but across the country, that have been reading your books, reading your columns, watching your videos over the years. And you just keep on going. You just keep on pumping out like new cutting edge stuff. You never slow down. It seems like every year you're bringing your game to the next level. But what I want to know is, how did this whole journey start? When did Jeffrey Gittimore like get into sales, and how did all of a sudden this industry spark for you, where you became a crusader to make it a better industry and make the people in it better salespeople?
A couple of things to comment on what you said. First of all, you happen to be an excellent judge of character, and I totally appreciate that.
Thank you.
Second of all, used car salespeople are still used car salespeople, and that's why they have that moniker, and I don't believe that's ever going to go away.
They got to read your book. You know?
Well, listen, it's too late. They already know everything.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And but third of all, I began literally at a very young age, you know, selling candy bars door to door. I sold firecrackers and fireworks and all kinds of stuff like that when I was in the seventh and eighth grade. And in college, I sold homework. And then I made money in various ways. I worked for my dad in my dad's factory, making, you know, a wage. $100 a week. And all kinds of things happen when you begin to exert yourself. I always had the gift of gab, but I never really understood the science of selling. And I had a couple of manufacturing businesses, and I sold in New York City, where it was very difficult to make sales. I would say you had to go in creatively prepared. And so I began to study sales, and I began to study creativity. And those two things, when combined, become pretty lethal. And I was very successful as a salesperson in New York City, making seven-figure sales. And I realized that the people around me were not as smart or not as bright or not, certainly not as creative. So I began to write and teach sales. Writing changes everything. If I were to give one tip to your audience today, I would say wake up in the morning and write. You don't need to wake up in the morning and watch television, because it's the same damn thing.
Right.
If you want to know what the weather is, let me give it to you from November until about March. Freezing ass cold. And you don't, you know, if it's going to snow or something, just look out the window. You can pretty much tell what it's going to do.
Right. Just like our grandparents did, right?
Wake up, read, wake up, write. Those are the two keys that will get you to next level. And I observe. I'm an observer. If you look at any Napoleon Hill book, he'll tell you that the power of observation is one of the 10 keys to be able to making anything better, because you look at things and you get ideas. Most people today, and I have a competitive advantage, most people are looking at their phone. And when I see people looking at their phone, I just kind of grin. I'm like, dude, why aren't you looking around? I go to Paris every year. People look at their phone instead of looking at the Eiffel Tower. It's unfathomable to me that people just wouldn't suck in what's going on around them on an everyday basis. And when you get to your office, you can look at the phone. It ain't that important.
You know, it's just a little side note. So I have young kids, and we go to their plays and their musicals and their sports. Mm-hmm. And parents are like watching these things through their phone as they take pictures and videotape them, or, you know, on their phone. And I think to myself, why don't you just watch the freaking musical with your own eyes? And like my parents did, they have great memories. Are you ever going to watch all this stuff again on your phone? Just watch it live. Mm-hmm. And people, they're watching it through their phones. And I just wonder what the impact of that is.
Well, oftentimes you go to the football stadium and you're watching the Jumbotron rather than watching the field.
Right. I know. You paid all that money, right?
Right. But listen, that's the new age, and that's the new way, and you either learn about it and learn how to capture it or deal with it, or you die.
So this is something that's old school, and it makes me think. So when I started in sales, it was like, you know, welcome to the radio station. I sold radio ads. Here's a desk, a phone book, a Rolodex, and just really go out with a sales rep for the day, learn the business, and you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are my tools of the trade, right? A car to hit the road, a desk, a phone, and a Rolodex. You know, now today, I mean, all my we're consumed with technology. What has remained the same in your mind?
Face-to-face has remained the same. Doing things in terms of the customer has remained the same. Coming up with ideas instead of giving a sales pitch remains the same. Asking emotional-based questions remains the same. And building some kind of a long-term relationship that's good enough to earn a referral has remained the same. Now, there's all kinds of different ways that salespeople are looking at it right now. They want to know the fastest way, the easiest way, the best way to make a sale. And the fastest, easiest way is to do it traditionally. It still works and it always will.
And it makes you stand out, right?
Well, I think that it makes you, yeah, you're correct. It makes you stand out. But it makes you be perceived as a person of value rather than a salesperson.
Yeah.
You have to go the extra mile, or you will leave your sale somewhere between where you stopped and the extra mile's end.
You know, you're going to appreciate this because I'm proving that I'm a student of yours through the years. But years ago, I read in the Business Journal, you wrote a column about writing handwritten thank you cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, why do that? And then your answer was, because no one else is.
Right.
No one does it anymore. And and I write a handwritten card on my own, you know, Dave Mamano stationery, you know, and I don't say thank you for the order because that's serving me. I say thank you for the opportunity to help you because now it's customer focused. But I actually try to write a letter every day to somebody that affected my life, somebody, customer, vendor, somebody in my life. And let me tell you something. There's 260-ish weekdays a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably writing about 200, handwritten notes a year. And I can't tell you how many times, oh my God, Dave, I got your note. Or go in someone's office. They have it up. They've saved it.
Of course. And, people can't throw away something that's handwritten. It's almost impossible.
Yep.
And then I
have my picture on my business card. And hopefully they don't want to throw that away either.
I shred them. But let me just share with you this. After 5 years, you've written 1,000 letters. That's impact.
Yep.
You develop a reputation for being a letter writer, for being an emotional communicator. It's powerful. Very powerful.
This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.